Paul Sir from the Basketball Podcast, as well as Basketball Alberta, joins us. And Paul, obviously there's some disappointment because Jamal Murray and a few other the top Canadian players aren't able to be part of the qualifying round right now. But, you know, you've got Wiggins and you've got Joseph and you've got Barrett and many others. What do you make of Canada's roster?
Well, in their pool, Jason, or in the tournament, I think they're the most talented team, and they're certainly the most athletic team. They've got a great coach in Nick Nurse, of course. So I think everybody going in is kind of has they're holding. It's a combination of wanting to be confident and yet holding your breath, because the men's team hasn't been to the Olympics since 2000. They've had some disappointments over the years, but their roster, as you indicated, is as strong as it's probably ever been. They're very talented. If there's one concern I would share, and I'm not trying to be a naysayer, is can they shoot the three well enough to go through and win the championship? Because that's what they have to do. They have to win the championship in order to be able to qualify for the Olympics. That's the only question mark that I have. Otherwise, I think they have the best team.
So that's what I was gonna, so who's their biggest? Who are their biggest rivals or concerns in this tournament?
Well, they're playing one right now in Greece. Now, Greece, of course, will not have the Antetokounmpo brothers,
yes,
and you know Giannis being the biggest, you know, the biggest fish in that pond. But Greece is a very good team, and they're coached by Patino. Not that that makes them prohibitively better with Rick Pitino at the helm, but they're a good basketball team, so they're going to have to play well. China has a good team. So if Canada takes care of business, they should beat Greece, they should beat China. In the other bracket, Turkey's quite good, and they have some talent as well. So they're all beatable teams, Jason. They're all very beatable. But, you know, you go back and you still have that scar when they had that real bad defeat to Venezuela a few years ago. And so until they get there, they haven't been in the Olympics since 2000. So they've got to make this breakthrough. And I know they're aware of it. I know Nick Nurse is aware of it. I know Rowan Barrett and Canada Basketball are aware of it. So we're hoping this is their year.
So how it goes is it's a best of, they play everybody. There's six teams in the tournament and they play each other in their bracket. And then of course, the top two teams in each bracket move on, right? And the winner of bracket A, let's say, will play the second place team in bracket B. So, you know, the most games they're going to play is four. Right, you're going to play the two games against Greece and China, and then and away you go. So we'll know by what I think it's Sunday if Canada's in or not. It's a lot of games in a short period of time.
It is, and it's in intense heat. Although I think the arena they're playing in is air conditioned. I can't say that with 100% certainty, but I believe it is. And so the heat shouldn't be a deciding factor. And so four games, 5 days. And all Canada has to do is win them, and they have the talent to do so. This should be their year. This should be when they break through. And having some of the names that they do have, I think, offsets some of the names that they don't have. Someone like Wiggins, who had one of his nicer, more consistent season, it's great to see him back in a Canadian jersey. R.J. Barrett had a great sophomore season for the New York Knicks. And then, you know, of course, Joseph, on and on. They've got a lot of talent, and they're extremely athletic. That's the thing I think Nick Nurse can really take advantage of, is what they can do with defensive pressure with the athleticism that they have.
Paul Sir joins us from Basketball Alberta. So Canada taking on Greece, and then they'll take on China tomorrow. And they do have a little bit of the hometown schedule there, Paul, because then they get the day off, and then they get 2 days off actually before the playoff round. So fatigue shouldn't really be a factor for them in this tournament. They don't have to play 3 and 4 at any stretch.
Exactly. And there's a little bit of home cooking there, and let's take advantage of it. And I want to give some recognition to the organizing committee in Victoria. I mean, talk about a tough job. They invested a ton of money into this event. thinking they were going to have a big basketball festival. I had some dealings with them with my role with Canada Basketball with 3x3. And, you know, it's been one disappointment, one setback after another. So they're able to have 10% of capacity in the building to cheer Canada on. It's on Canadian home soil. You know, the stars align, Jason. This is a great opportunity for the men to break through. Women, of course, already qualified heading into the Olympics as one of the, you know, one of the teams that everybody's going to be watching real closely. But now it would be great to see the men take their place in the Olympics and really make a push in as things get going in Tokyo.
And, Paul, anybody who's not playing in this tournament who you think could actually make it to the Olympics? Or is this who's playing now is automatic who's coming to the Olympics?
It's not. No. There are other players that could be eligible. Now, I'm not sure who else wants to play, can play, is able to play. That's not on the roster right now. But they can make changes if they want to. So if they can strengthen their lineup prior to the Olympics, they will be able to do that.
Okay. And the women's team, they head into this. They're obviously one of the favorites. But are they, like, realistically, where do you see the women's team heading into the Olympics, Paul? Are they second, third, fourth? Where do you have them realistically? And how much of it is it going to depend on, you know, kind of the pools and how they're made up?
Everything always is heavily weighted on pools, Jason. I think that's a really important point to bear in mind. The more difficult the pool, the tougher the road. And I know I'm stating the obvious. But here's the biggest challenge, I think, for the women, the women's team. In 2012, when they really surprised everyone by getting through the qualifying tournament to get to London and then getting to the quarterfinals, that was a huge accomplishment. And ever since then, it's been a slow, steady climb as the team, you know, certainly we all are familiar in Edmonton because they've trained here, but they kept working their way up further and further. I think they had what I would call a disappointing result, losing to France in the quarterfinals in the 2016 Olympics. They've been building towards this. Here's my big question mark, though, Jason, is the team hasn't been together as of yet. You've got WNBA players, of course, like Kia Nurse, Natalia Achanwa, Bridget Carlton, that are going to be joining the team, Kayla Alexander. Those will add a lot of firepower to the team, but they haven't played together. And they're going to be playing against national teams that have been playing together. So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two is to go further. They have to do some things better than they've done in difficult situations. So that's going to have to be the breakthrough I think Coach Tomaitis and her team has to make. Where do they stack up? You know, they're ranked fourth in the world. I think they're somewhere between fourth and seventh, but they're capable of beating two and three, although that will be a challenge for them. But they're capable of meddling. They are. But a lot of things are going to have to come together. And I think that lack of time together is going to be what their biggest challenge is going to be, is can they find that chemistry in amongst the talent that they have.
Paul, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great day.
Thanks so much, Jason.